So the title of this message is My Holy Bible Bubble. Say that five times real fast.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, You are holy. Lord, forgive us for anything that we brought into this place. Let us put it down and let us acknowledge Your holiness, Your righteousness, Your majesty. God, continue to have Your way in this service. God, pour out Your Holy Spirit like in the day of Pentecost. Lord, let us be changed. Let us be moved. Let us continue to feel Your presence. God, it's Your word. It's Your service. We're just here to worship You. Speak to each and every one of us. Speak through me, but let it be all of You. And I ask in the name of Jesus, amen. You guys, you really do, if you have the opportunity, if you have the chance, come out to prayer on Wednesday night. It was a wonderful time. And as Kathy said, if you can't make it, or even if you can, put the prayer requests in those baskets so we can pray over them. Because God is moving, and God does. He wants to save our families and our friends. That's His desires, to save. This was an interesting word the Lord gave to me. I gave it to Rick, and well, for one thing, He said I'm going to have to start emailing Him the night before. There's too many scriptures to load. But he read the title, and he goes, huh. I was like, that's exactly how I felt about it. It's like, huh. Because Lisa and I were sitting, it was last Friday or Saturday, we were sitting outside, and we were talking, and she brought something up, and I made a statement. And the Lord said, and that's what I want you to speak on. And I was like, okay. But as he began to reveal it to me and to show me, I was like, I'm always just like, good one, God. You know, like, I get to hear the message before you guys. But I want to just throw a few scriptures up on the screen before we get into it, and I'll tell you exactly what Lisa and I said. But again, I want to start with Genesis 1:1. We all know that text, right? In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Okay? Now I want you to look at Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. It's a psalm of David, and David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And he goes on in verse 2, and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And we're going to talk about some of those benefits later. And then the last verse I want you to see is Revelation 22, verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And you say, what do those three verses have in common? I read the first verse of the Bible. I read the last verse of the Bible, and I read the center verse of the Bible. And so when I looked it up, I was like, what's the center of the Bible? And if it's by chapter, it's Psalm 117 or 118. But if it's by verse in the King James, there are 31,102 verses in the King James Bible. So there can't be one verse. But there are 15,500 verses on either side of Psalm 103, 1 and 2. So those two verses are the center two verses in the King James. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. That is the center. And the reason I wanted to read the first verse, the center, and the end, is because that's what we're going to talk about today. The beginning, the middle, and the end. We're going to talk about every bit of it. So we're sitting on the couch, and I don't even remember what exactly Lisa said or who it was about, but she said, doesn't your heart just break for that? And I said, it really does. I said, because I feel like I live in a bubble. And God said, speak on that. And I was like, speak on living in a bubble? And He said, yes. That's exactly what I said. So the title of this message is My Holy Bible Bubble. You say that five times real fast. My Holy Bible Bubble, right? And God just started to show me that my bubble that He has put around me is these scriptures. Because I believe the first one, I believe the middle one, I believe the last one, and I believe all the others. And that is my peace, that is my joy, that is my faith, that is everything. These scriptures, they're alive. They speak to us in no matter what situation we're in. So I do, I walk around, and you guys are thinking of a bubble that maybe can be popped with something. Have you seen those things where people get into them and they run into them and they, that's my bubble. Like I'm knocking stuff down. Like it's indestructible. My bubble is huge and it is strong, and I mean it's going to plow over whatever gets in its way. Because it is the living Word of God. And I thought, what verse do you want me to use for that, God, you know? Well, in Psalm 125:2, the Lord says this. He says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people. From henceforth, even forever. I am in a bubble. I am completely surrounded by the Almighty God. And if you've accepted Him, so have you. So are you. You have your own bubble. And I'm here to encourage you to strengthen your bubble, to embrace it, and to let it grow. And God showed me where my bubble started and where He has grown it over the years. But I looked up what it says, what it said online about living in a bubble. And it said, living in a bubble has often been used to mean many things. Some are positive and some are negative. The first, the negative, it says, it's often used to refer to someone who shuns all the harsh realities of life, their fears, their pain. The bubble refers to safety. And those living in it are regarded to be cowards. Their inability to face their problems head on using these bubbles. To bar their challenge defines them as weak. Additionally, the phrase is used to refer to how naive a person is. Someone who doesn't understand how the world operates often is termed a tenant of the bubble. That is in a poor light. But on the other side, it says, living in a bubble can also mean something positive. It can be interpreted to fit people who do not let society, or rather the world, define who they are. I certainly do not do that. They know their fears, they're well aware of the challenges, and they understand that the world is murky, dangerous, and dysfunctional. As a result of all this, they choose not to let the negativity get to them. Not because of fear or being naive, but because they're determined to succeed. Well, my Bible is all of these scriptures. And we're going to read just about every one of them, Rick said, today. But I want you to think about it as we're going through these things. Think about, what do I grab onto? What when things are bad, when things are tough, when things are good, when things are, what do I grab onto? I grab onto scriptures for everything. When I was 5 years old, I went to a Christian school. It was Heart Chapel Christian School in Elkins. And we had chapel every Wednesday. And at the age of 5, they had an altar call. They read John 3:16. And everyone has probably heard this scripture a time or two. But I was 5 years old. And it said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him won't die, but will have everlasting life. At 5 years old, I was like, I want that. And I went forward, and I accepted Jesus in my heart at 5 years old. And this was the first part of my bubble. And as I've gotten older and I've gotten into the Word, I've began to understand the coding that's gone on. And so, for God so loved the world, like if that's the only scripture you know, that's a great place to start. You can have everlasting life. And then Paul talks about the exact same thing in Romans 10. And he says, in verse 9, he says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you'll believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, You will be saved. If you confess Jesus, believe it in your heart. Believe that He was raised from the dead and ask Him in your heart, you will be saved. For with the heart, you can believe. Man believes unto righteousness, and with his mouth, confession is made to salvation. So we put that on top of John 3:16, and my bubble keeps getting thicker and stronger. And then we learn in Ephesians chapter 2, and this is an awesome one, because as you get older, at 5 I was just like, I accepted Jesus into my heart. And then as I got older, I was like, but what do I need to do? Like, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, still just John 3:16. But he says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, he says, it's by grace that you're saved. Through faith, through believing. It's the same message. But he goes on and he says, it's not of you. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. And he tells you why in verse 9, because if it was of works, then we could boast. I'm saved because I come to prayer meeting. I'm saved because I preach. I'm saved. No, you're saved because of what Jesus did on the cross. Make no mistake. None of your actions will have gotten you saved. The only thing is Jesus. 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 That's it. It's Jesus. Every time. The whole time. Jesus. It's as simple as John 3:16. But we keep looking, confess, believe, it's not of us. And we have to know this. It has to be so real. And that's, my bubble has become so real. Then when I was 10 years old, we started going to an Assemblies of God church. We were introduced to the Holy Spirit. Hadn't seen the Holy Spirit a whole lot up until the time I was 10. But now, the Holy Spirit's at this church. So then, my mom's like, I'm going to pray for you that you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because my mom would walk around vacuuming, carrying a kid. Because there were a bunch of us. But she would just sing. And she would sing praise songs. And she would sing in her prayer language. And I was exposed to God. But at 10, I started to hear about the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist talks about Jesus, and he talks about what Jesus is going to do. In Matthew 3, verse 11, John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that's coming, he's mightier than I am, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. They probably didn't completely comprehend this because it was new, right? I didn't completely comprehend it when I was 10. I still sometimes am like, huh. But my bubble, I was exposed to the Holy Spirit and it started, and that started to come. And then as I've gotten older, I've learned more and more. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father's going to send in my name, he's going to teach you all things, and he's going to bring all the things to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you. Isn't that nice? God knows how he made us and that we're going to forget things, but the Holy Spirit, that anointing, it's going to remind us. It's going to remind us of scriptures when we don't have our Bible. It's going to remind us of words that he has spoken to us and over us. He's going to remind us, and he's going to live within us and be with us no matter what. That comforts me. And he says he's the Comforter. Then in Acts, when Jesus is leaving, when he's ascending back into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, and we'll read verses 4 and 5, but in verse 3 it says that he had showed himself alive after he had rose from the dead. And he'd seen them 40 days and he was speaking to them different things about the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 4, so they're all assembled together and he commands them. He doesn't suggest to them. He doesn't tell them, hey, if you're around, You ought to swing by the upper room. He doesn't say, if it's convenient for you. He commands them. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Don't go any, you're going to want this. Don't leave. He says, wait for the promise. And he says, you've heard of this, you've heard. He says, you've heard of me. For John in verse 5, the same verse where, for John, he baptized with water. But you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days from now. And jump down to verse 8, and he talks about what this Holy Ghost is going to do to them. He says, but you're going to receive power. What kind of power? Dynamite power, as Pastor Jerry said. You're going to have power that comes from the Holy Ghost. When He comes upon you, you are going to receive power. And you're going to be witnesses to me. You're going to be a witness to me here in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Through with this power. You guys have this power that lives within you, right? What power is it? We've already talked about it, but let's go to Romans 8:11. This is the spirit that I believe Lisa referred to when she was praying. The Apostle Paul said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. The spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. My bubble's real strong. I'm telling you, I'm not paying any attention. No, I am paying attention to what's going on. But my bubble deflects all of the negativity because I find my truth right here between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21. I don't need a newscaster. I don't need anyone standing up and telling me what's going on or what the truth is. It's right here. And that is what I'm insulated from. I'm not pretending like nothing's going on. I'm pretending like this is going on. No, I'm knowing that this is going on. I'm living it, and I'm not afraid. Because this is the truth. This is what will come to pass. So yes, I live in a bubble. But it's an awesome, powerful bubble made by the Holy Ghost. So you guys are like, well, this is great. You know, everything's going pretty good for you at 5 and 10. Well, when I was 15... and in high school, my father had his own business and he lost it. And he tried to save it, but he did things that weren't right. So at the age of 15, my father goes to jail. We lost our house. We lost all of our cars. We moved into a two-bedroom apartment and had a car that my grandmother gave us that was so bad, the guy that gave me my driver's test at the state police barracks said to me, if this was my car, I don't think I'd be here trying to get my license. So I have met Jesus and I've heard about the Holy Spirit, but things have taken a turn for the worse. So living in the bubble doesn't keep bad things from coming. But I know the truth and I've seen the truth. And now when I look back on it, I see it even more. So my bubble, you know, it's getting beat on a little bit, you know? I mean, like, this isn't good. Like, I'm not real happy with the events of my life. But God was still with me. God was still for me. You know, as a kid, when something bad happens, a lot of times you get made fun of. Because kids are mean, right? I didn't get made fun of one time. I had siblings that did. But my friends rallied around me. And they were like, we're so sorry. If you need anything, come stay. If anything at all, my bubble. God was protecting me. And I felt bad that other people were getting made fun of. My younger brothers and sisters, my older sister. Things were not good. I mean, we moved into this apartment. My sister had to come home from college to get a job. My mom, who didn't work and had many small children, started waiting tables. Our church rallied around us and gave us food. They helped with Christmas. You know, we didn't have a phone. We didn't have, I mean, we used the phone of the lady across the hall. Things weren't good, but God was with me. And I see that. And He was protecting me, even at school. I even had a friend, my dad's business had been gone. He had been in prison. And one of my friends said to me, I bet you're excited about getting your first car. And I was like, how so? He said, well, guys are going to, I'm sure your dad will get you something awesome. I was like, yeah, my dad's in jail. Seriously? God blinded people's eyes. Like, I was in a bubble. I was like, yeah. Like, it was all over the paper. But God was with me. You know, it says in Deuteronomy 31, when Moses was talking, this was towards the end of his time. They're trying to encourage Joshua. But in Deuteronomy 31, we'll read verses 6 and 8. I love how they're different. In verse 6, it says, be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid. And look what it says. It says, for the Lord your God, He goes with you. He won't fail you or forsake you. And I've seen that throughout my entire life. Bad things have come, but He has never left me. Things have been hard, but He has never forsaken me. But it says right there, look at that. I want you to see exactly what it says. It says He goes with you. He's with you, right? That would be like He's right beside me. Look at verse 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before you. There's my bubble. He's before me. He's with me. He's behind me. He's all surrounding me. He does. He goes before you. He'll be with you. It doesn't matter what's going on. He will be with you. Will things be hard? Absolutely. But He will be with you. And it says, He won't fail you. He doesn't know how to fail. He won't forsake you. And you're not to fear or be dismayed. And I can tell you, as someone that's gone through many different things, not the same as what you've gone through, we all have. But He never, ever, ever leaves you. He won't fail you and He will not forsake you. And I've started to learn that when I was going through hard things. See, it was easier when things were good. I was like, yeah. But when things were bad, I saw it. I saw it live out. I saw it strengthen my faith. Psalm 27, verse 1. David says, the Lord is my light. He is my salvation, because He is mighty to save, right? He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Somebody please tell me, whom should I fear with having the Lord on my side? He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Who will I be afraid of? Like David got it. That's why his heart... What do you want from me? David had things go wrong. David was tried... Many times did Saul attempt to kill him. Dave hid in caves. His own son tried to kill him. He had to leave and run and hide. And the whole time he's saying, God is with me. I'm not afraid. He is with me. So David didn't only say it when he was sitting on the throne, when everything was going good. He said it from the cave. He said it from the field. He said, who will I be afraid of? God is with me. And if you jump down to the last verse of that same chapter, 27:14, he ends it by saying, wait on the Lord. Church, that's one of the hardest things to do is to wait. It is so hard to wait, but I'm telling you, don't go. Don't go. Just like Jesus said to his disciples. He said, wait. David's saying, wait. It's like, don't go. Be of good courage and He will strengthen your heart. And he says it again, wait on the Lord. If you're not sure what, wait. If you don't, this is, wait. Wait on God. He will guide you. He will direct you in the perfect time. It's not always in our time. It's probably rarely in my time. But it's in His time. So wait on the Lord. And then just flip over to Psalm 91. This one. I love this Psalm. It's Psalm 91. I'm going to read all 16 verses. The proclamation, the acknowledgement of who encompasses us. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where my bubble is. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your armor. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shouldn't be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by the day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. See, no evil's going to befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Lisa prayed over our house. The bubble was around it. There was no storm welcome there. Peace, be still. We are protected by the Most High. Verse 11. He will give His angels. My bubble has an escort. He will give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you would even dash your foot against a stone. You'll tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon. You will trample under your feet, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I have seen the salvation of the Most High God. It lives within me. I have seen it. I feel it. I know it beyond anything. His salvation is real and it is upon all believers. Proverbs 18:10, again, the name of the Lord is what? It's a strong bubble. No, I'm sorry. It's a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Call upon the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. It's a strong tower. You will be safe there. That's the insulation that I have. Then, I get a little older. I get my first job, right? Like it was around 1997, 19 years old. I start working and selling. But you know what? I have quit going to church because I'd gone to church 8 days a week, my entire upbringing. And when I got older, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go to church. Well, guess what? I came back to church and it's a much better place to be. But when I was 19, and I got this job, and Lisa and I were not attending church regularly. I'd remembered the scriptures. I'd remembered what I'd been taught. I'd remembered what I'd heard the pastor say. I'd remembered what I'd seen in the Bible. The Holy Spirit was reminding me. And I remembered what I needed to do. Even if I didn't go to church, I was picking and choosing, but I picked this one. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So he says in verse 10, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And then he says, test me, saith the Lord of hosts. And see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. So even though I wasn't going to church, I started making money. And you know what? I knew these verses. And I was like, Mom, will you put this in the offering? Mom. And I continued to tithe. I started making pretty good money at that age. And my mom called me and she said, hey, she said, do you understand how tithing works? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, this is a lot of money. And I was like, well, I made a lot of money. And this is 10% of it. She's like, okay, I do. I wasn't going to church, but I was tithing. I was going to give God what, I was not going to rob God. And guess what? We have always been blessed. We have always you know why? Because it says, test me. With that age, I was just giving the 10%. Now I'm like 10% and I'm going to test you. Let's see. And guess what? He opened up the windows of heaven and he's poured out a blessing that there wasn't room enough to receive. That's, His word is true. That's part of my Bible. I will tithe. I will tithe and I will tithe and I will give to God. You want to be blessed? Give and give and give. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 31, He says, don't take thought. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What about our clothes? He says, don't take thought about that stuff. He says, all of these things do the Gentiles seek. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. So in verse 33, seek what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those other things will be added unto you. I promise you that's true. That was a harder one for me. I was able to tithe, but I was like, I also need to stress a little bit about money. No, I don't. No, you don't. Seek God. Seek God. See, my bubble was a little thin then, but it's gotten thicker. And you know what? I seek God first. I seek, what do you want me to do? How much do you want me to give? Luke chapter 6. We're going to read from 30 to 38, and everybody loves verse 38. 38's a good one. Let's see what leads up to verse 38. Verse 30. Jesus says, give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes from you, don't ask for it back. And he goes on in verse 31, do it how? As you would that men would do to you. Do it that way. Give the way you'd want someone to give to you. That's how you should give. Because he says in verse 32, if you love them which love you, there's no thank in that. Sinners love people that love them. If you do good to them that do good to you, in verse 33, again, sinners do that. And if you lend to someone of whom you hope to receive it back, no thanks. Why? Sinners do that. They give hoping to receive it back. Verse 35, love your enemies. Do good. Lend. Hoping for nothing. This isn't my word, this is His. But He says, when you do that, your reward will be great. And you'll be the children of the Highest. For He's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He's, be merciful as your Father's been merciful to you. In verse 36. And then He says, judge not, and you won't be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Oh, here's the good one. Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how men will give to you. For with the same measure that you give, with all it will be given back. Did you read the first seven verses, though? Right. This is how you get 38, you give with no hope of getting it back. You love even when they don't love you back. Do what God did for you to all man. Give the way you'd want it to be given to you. And then it'll be given good measure. Shaken together, pressed down, running over. And again, I don't get paid from the church, so give or don't give. You're going to miss out. No, give. I was talking to someone the other day and they said, you know, I don't know a lot about church because I'd invited them to church. And they said, I do know that you have to give money. And I said, no, you do not. No, you do not. No, you do not. I said, let me explain. I said, this is what God has revealed to me. And this is how, what I see. There is a talk of tithing, which is 10% of your gross. I said, that's what I feel to give. And then I feel to give an offering above that. But I said, here's what's awesome. I said, God doesn't need your money at all. You are not doing God any favors by sticking whatever you stick back there. He does not need it. He is independently wealthy. But I said, the way I look at it is 100% of what I have is His. 100%. He lets me keep 90% of His stuff. 90! All He asks for is 10, and He asks for the 10 so that He can bless me more than the 10. Like, it's the best deal you'll ever make. But no, you do not have to give. It's a test. It's a challenge so that He can bless you because of your obedience. But He does not need your money. So when you give, how are we supposed to give? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul in verse 6. He says, "He which sows sparingly will reap sparingly. If you give a little, you'll get a little. And he which sows bountifully will reap bountifully." And then what's it say in the next verse? "Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, let him give. But do not give grudgingly." If you walk back there and you're like, "I really need..." Put it back in your pocket. Don't give it. If you're not giving out of your heart, don't give it. Keep it. He doesn't need it. Don't give grudgingly or out of necessity. Don't feel like you have. You do not have to give. God loves a cheerful giver. The blessing is for you. He wants to bless you. Don't give grudgingly. From now on, when you put whatever you put in there, yell hallelujah. I'll know somebody walked by the offering box. Hallelujah! Give cheerfully. Be glad that you're blessed enough to give. I'm done with giving. But we did that from the time we got together, and God has always provided. Every single time. You know, a matter of fact, I told Lisa, I said, God really is showing me. What's the date? It's the 13th of August, right? I have not sold a car this month. I've worked, and I've made $0 this entire... I don't get paid. I've made no money this entire month. I'm unfazed by that. So what? I mean, zero fear. I told Lisa, I said, I'm going to be busy the next 2 weeks. She goes, why do you think that? And I said, because I haven't sold anything, and God wanted me to talk about giving when things weren't going the way I like them to go. I said hallelujah when I put my tithe in back there and my offering. I didn't hold back. There were times years ago I'd be like, well, maybe I don't need to give the offering. I'm giving the offering. I am not concerned. I do not want you to take up a basket for me in the back. God, all is well. God will provide. God always provides. I have absolutely zero stress about it because I live in a bubble that says if I give, He'll take care. If I give with a cheerful heart, it will come out of the windows of heaven. It will run over. And He has done it over and over and over. So I stand up here saying, God, message received. They all know now. So let's get back to work on Monday. Anyway, then when we were going to this church, our son, who was 2.5 years old, got sick. He got real sick. He got sick enough to die, right? My bubble, I'm telling you, you go back to that time and we're in the hospital and he's got the PICC line in and the x-rays are bad and people are praying and I'm just like, I mean, he's going to be fine. I went into the school to get some of Landon's homework one day and one of the teachers came up to me and they go, can I pray with you? And I was like, absolutely. And she prayed with me, and she prayed, you know, your son to be healed. And I was like, thank you so much. And she was like, you seem good. I was like, I'm great. And she was like, I've heard he was really sick. I was like, oh, yeah, he is. But you're smiling. Well, yeah. I mean, he's going to be healed. And I had people come to me later on and were like, I found it so odd, your behavior, when your son was laying in the hospital. And I was like, what do you mean? Well, you didn't seem upset. Oh, I wasn't. You didn't seem afraid. Well, I wasn't. Right? That was weird. Psalm 103, remember that verse that was right in the center verse? Psalm 103, verse 2, it said, what? It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. When the very next verse, in verse 3, He tells us some of the benefits. He forgives our iniquities and He heals all our diseases. I was Never one time concerned, because I knew that God was going to bring him out of that hospital. Should I? I couldn't be. God shielded me from any fear, any anxiety, and he just said, I will bring him out of there. And I was like, okay. Like, I believe him. Every time. That's my bubble. Yes, I see what's going on. My head is not in the sand. I see it. I've heard it. When we got home and he was okay, the x-ray technician from UHC, that's where he was for a couple days before he went to Ruby. We knew him and his wife. We carpooled with them. He had called his wife and he told her, he said, get ready to comfort them. That child is going to die. I have never seen, there has never been an x-ray that I have seen that has been that bad, that the child has lived. Well, you have now. God is our healer. I wasn't concerned. He has, it doesn't seem like he has any side effects from it. Sometimes I wonder. He has zero side effects. They said he's going to have a hard time breathing. He doesn't. He's going to have a hard time when it's really cold. He doesn't. God healed him. The same God that has healed so many of us. The same God that raises people from the dead. The same God, that's who healed him. And that is what is around me. And that is what I believe. And that is what I grab onto whenever something goes wrong. I grab onto my bubble and I'm like, no, the Word of God says this. He heals all of them. Psalm 118. And again, if a doctor tells you to do something, do it. You trust them, you believe them, but they do not have the final say. They can only go by what information they have in front of them. Fortunately, we have a God that sees past any diagnosis, any death sentence, any incurable thing. It is incurable to man. They're telling you the truth as they know it. But it says in Psalm 118, verse 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So someone could have told me, hey, he's not going to make it. And I was like, sorry, I've already spoke with God. Like, that's the truth. Like, this is what I believe. I believe it's better to trust God than to put any confidence in man. That is what insulates me from all of the terrible things that are going on. And there are terrible things going on. But I trust God. Proverbs chapter 3. And this is a good one. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on to your own understanding. When you realize that, it doesn't matter what you understand. Understand that He is God. And that whatever He says goes. In all your ways, verse 6, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Trust God. Trust this book. I cannot be any more clear that this is alive and essential for us and encouraging for us. And this is what I believe unequivocally. There's nothing. Someone asked me the other day, the same person I was talking to, and they said, I want to ask you a question, but I don't want you to get mad. And I was like, I'm not going to get mad. And he goes, how do you know the Bible is true? And I was like, that's an awesome question. I said, you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Yes. I was like, you really think that after he did that, he struggled with getting some men to write down what he wanted in a book? Well, no, I mean, I suppose that would have been easier. Yes, it would have been easier. That's how I know it's true. But more importantly, I can tell you that I have lived what these scriptures have promised. I've seen them in my own life. I've seen healing where there was no healing. I've seen restoration where there was no restoration. I have seen peace in the midst of a storm. So yes, I believe that this word is true. And it does not offend me that you ask me. But I have lived it and I have seen it. And I believe that He is the Almighty God. Amen. He's like, that's a really good answer. I was like, well, thank you. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It says again, and we've talked about this before. It says in the Bible over 365 times not to fear. Got a verse for you every day. But it says, fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That is what is in my bubble. That's what I believe. That's how I live. I'm not afraid. I'm not dismayed. I don't care that I haven't sold any cars. We're good. God is good. It's fine. I believe that with every bit of my being. And you say, well, so will we have trouble? I could read this verse every single week. John 16:33. What's it say? It says you will definitely have tribulation. Right? These things I've spoken to you that you might have peace. Because know this, in the world you will have tribulation. I promise you, you will. I've had it. But, he doesn't end there. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. That's what I'm walking around in my bubble saying. He's overcome the world. It's done. It's finished. The victory is mine. What about, sorry, nope, I'll believe this. Did you see? Have you seen? That's what we need to start saying to people. Have you seen what's going on? Have you seen what it's about to happen? Like, it's right here. Like, this is where we go. What's it say in Isaiah 54:17? It says, no weapon. How many weapons? None. No weapon that is formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Whose heritage is this? It's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me. Thank you, Jesus. Our righteousness is from Him. Nothing that is formed against us will prosper. It cannot penetrate my bubble. I'm telling you, wrap yourself in the Scriptures. Clothe yourself with the Word of the living God. The Holy Spirit lives within you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Now you say, well, you know what? Everything's going good. I love this. Great. And if everything's going good, let's look at Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Because a lot of times things are great. They're perfect. Everything is going the way we would want. Here's what the Lord says in verse 23. Thus saith the Lord. Don't glory in your own wisdom. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might. Don't let the rich man glory in his riches. But verse 24, here's where the glory goes. But let him that glorieth glory in this thing, that he understands and that he knows me. Do you know Jesus? Glory in that. Know that He is the Lord, which exercised loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. No matter how good things are going inside my bubble, I give Him all praise, all glory. That's what I'm happy about, that I know Him. Seek ye first His kingdom. Everything else. This is our life on earth. It's like this. Eternity just keeps going. Glory in knowing Him. Two more scriptures and I'm going to let you go. So I wanted to tell you what I wear inside my bubble. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because it's coming. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You are not fighting against any man. You are fighting against evil. If you are on the side of God, you're not fighting against man. You're fighting against evil and wickedness. We have an armor. We have an armor and we need to put it on. And he tells you in verse 13, take the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and that you've done everything you can to stand. And then he says, stand. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, that you be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's what we're doing. We're praying. We're lifting up prayer requests. We're praying constantly for one another, for all saints. Put on the armor of God, wrap yourself in the bubble of these scriptures, and know that He is the Lord. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing that will stop us or be able to get through His truth and His Word. Wrap yourself in that. And when I'm in my bubble, I do three things. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16, I rejoice evermore. Of course I'm happy. I know Jesus. It doesn't matter. Rejoice evermore. What's the next verse say? What are we supposed to do? Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? I have other... It's easy. Talk to God. Take Him with you. He's always there. He goes before you. He's right beside you. It's easy to talk to Him. Pray without ceasing. And the last one, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice, pray, give thanks unto the Holy God of Israel. When you think about what He's done for you, it shouldn't be hard. When you think about what He's gotten you through, I don't know how we don't. He has done it, He's doing it, and He will continue to do it. He is the Almighty God. There is no other. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He sits on the throne. He's coming again. And there is nothing that the enemy can do but take His defeat. Rejoice evermore. If you don't have a bubble, I suggest you get one. And coat it with scriptures. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for Your Word. I thank You for encouraging Your people, encouraging us that nothing can come against us, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That's what it says in Your book of truth, in Your book of promises. I thank You that You've given us Your Holy Spirit, that it lives within us. That it is alive, that it is well, that it is the same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the grave. I thank You that no matter what we're going through, You will not leave us or forsake us. If you have been going through something, folks, if you have been going through something, I suggest that you grab these scriptures and you hold on to them and that you proclaim them and that you read them and that you do the commandments that He's laid out to us. God, give us opportunities to see it. Give us opportunities to witness Your miracles. God, we come and we pray because we know who You are. We pray expecting miracles. We put the requests in that basket because we know that You see them and that You answer prayers and that there's nothing You can't do. God, I pray over this congregation of peace. I pray everyone watching online, everyone that hears this word, that they will feel the presence of Almighty God. That they will know that He is in charge and that He is undefeated. God, I pray that You will give them a new boldness, a new courage, a new strength to take so that we can be witnesses here and in the uttermost parts of the earth to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 206-2630. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.